Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that it has been to us over these last months as we've been studying just Hebrews chapter 11 and seeing all the men and women of faith. God, for me personally, it encourages me in my walk with you to continue to be faithful, that there are those who have gone before us that have lived the life. They've experienced the things that we're experiencing. They experience the difficulties. They experience difficulties in their finances. They experience difficulties in their relationships, even with their families. God, we see that there are times in our lives as Christians that life gets tough. But Lord, I pray, as your word has shown us, not to give up, that we would persevere, that we would continue to fight the good fight. Lord, that we would not grow weary while doing good. Though we may feel weary, God, I pray that in our spirits we'd feel your strength. For we do know that scripture is that those who are weak shall be made strong. And so, God, in our weakness, we come to you. Strengthen us, we pray. Help us to focus upon you. We pray against distractions this morning. We ask that you would bind the enemy and his principalities from this time so that we can hear your word, apply your word, and then go out and share your word. So bless us as we study, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I must have prayed too long. That's what it was. Aravis again, getting me, isn't she? Hebrews chapter 12. We're here. I got to tell you right off the bat, it is absolutely, these next two verses, my absolute favorite verses in the entire Bible for me personally. So we're going to take our time. And I believe that God is going to kind of give us a two-week message in these next two verses. So one verse per day, I guess, if you will. But there's an encouragement that happens here in the beginning of chapter 12. After reading all of the faithful people in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says, now listen, now that I've given you all this information, now that I've shared with you all of these people that have lived by faith and how they experienced it, whether it was blessings that they were receiving or whether it was struggles that they got through, there's going to be something that we need to do. See, it's easy for us to look at our Bibles and go, boy, that happened to that person. And wow, the Apostle Paul, what an amazing man he was. And what the things that God did with his life. Or Peter, though, man, he may have asked a lot of dumb questions. But look what God did with that man's life. And we can look at those stories and we can look at those lives or even look at each other's lives. But forget to say, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to respond to the Word of God? How am I to react to the Word of God? And as we've been studying through Hebrews, from time to time, I'll remind you who this letter, who this book was written to. Hebrew Christians. Hebrew Christians that had given up their Jewish background, their Judaism, if you will, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. These Christians that this writer is writing to were under major persecution for leaving, in a sense, their traditions. They were under a lot of pressure. And the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to encourage them. What you're believing in, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is true. Though around you there's turmoil, though around you there's a lot of pressure, don't give up. Stay the course. There was a tendency for these believers to kind of go back to their traditions. Because what? It was comfortable. And how many of us in this room can remember the old life? Not that I wanted to bring that up, but there was an old life before you came to Christ, perhaps, and sometimes there's comfort in the knowing. You know, there's comfort in the things that I knew how to do. But as a Christian now, you no longer do those things, but there's a tendency to want to go back to them because they're familiar. Oh, many of us, if not all of us, would probably agree that when it comes to living the life of faith, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's not really a sense of, God, I know exactly what you're going to do with me tomorrow. No, it's, Lord, what are you going to do with me tomorrow? And how are you going to do it? And so we need to remember that these Christians were being persecuted. So as we read these words, we got to have that kind of thought in our minds that they were constantly under this persecution, severe persecution. And there was a danger for those that they might interpret their sufferings as God's displeasure. Wouldn't that make sense? It makes sense for many of us. When something happens in your life that isn't really comfortable, that isn't really pleasurable, you're wondering, God, are you punishing me for something? Is there something that I've done that you're not pleased with? You're trying to get my attention? You know, I mean, as Christians, we do that. And maybe there's other Christians that speak into your life and kind of want to bring correction. And at first you're like, who are you to judge me? But then hopefully at some point you get to the point and go, well, is that true? Is there any truth to it? And to consider our hearts. No, there was a danger of that for these Christians. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage them. No. Stay the course. Stay the course. It's going to get difficult. Jesus told us that. And we need to realize that. But worst of all, they might be tempted to return to the temple and to the ceremonies. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was concerned about most. And I wonder if any of us in this room, we probably all have felt it at one point or another, that, you know, I'm the only one that's suffering the way I am. You ever feel that way? God has just kind of set you aside, going, oh, I'm going to beat you up for a while. You're unique. I'm going to do something special. No, but we all feel that. We all feel like, God, why are you doing this to me? Everybody else seems blessed, and I'm out here struggling. You know, things aren't going my way. Why? I'm the only one that suffers like this. My trials are different than others. I mean, I understand y'all, you know, you have a tough life. I get that, but you don't have my life. Right? Do we think that? Oh, yeah, I can see how God's blessing you, but I've got a lot more things going on because God loves me more, or something going on there. No, we got to realize that those things are going to happen, right? Those things are going to be experienced, and not because of God's displeasure. I believe so many times these things happen in our lives because of God's pleasure. He loves to see us be faithful through the trials, through the difficulties. The scripture behind, Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. It means it happens to everybody. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. How many of us have experienced in our lives that temptations before us, that sin that we struggle with there before us, and then all of a sudden we get a phone call. Oh, pastor's calling. Just when that, you know, just when that temptation is there, that's just when you're about to step out and compromise your faith, there's something that happens. There's a call that comes in, or someone walks in the room, and it's like, that is God giving us a way out. God gives us those opportunities to overcome the struggles that we have. We need to be sensitive to those things. We need to be watchful for those things. You see, my friends, we all struggle. We all have difficulties. We all feel like we're the only ones struggling with what we struggle with. But as we've read in Hebrews chapter 11, if you've been with us, God is faithful. God is faithful. Paul experienced the faithfulness of God. You've experienced the faithfulness of God in your life, or you've heard about it from others. And there's an encouragement here in the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 that basically after the writer says everything he says in chapter 11, he says, now how about you? Now how about what are you going to do about it? And to me, some of the most encouraging verses, again, for me, in the Bible. And if you ever get a birthday card or an anniversary card from me when I sign it, it's Hebrews 12 too. Because I believe that that is what helps me, and I believe it what helps all Christians, that if we get our eyes off of our circumstances and get them on the Lord, we're able to walk on water. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's all we're going to read. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a great verse for Communion Sunday. To be reminded where Jesus is now, seated at the right hand of God. But the encouragement here in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 12 for us, and I've titled my message, Run, Christian, Run. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like running. Sometimes I feel like laying on the couch. Sometimes I feel like sitting down and kicking back. I don't feel like running. But I don't know where you are, but God knows where you are. And he's telling you this morning, don't stop. keep running, keep moving. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this concept of running the race that is before us. Run, Christian, run. We need to encourage each other in this. When you know someone in your life who's a believer that is being beat up, that is being discouraged, that feels depressed, you need to come alongside that person and help them, get them back on track, moving with the Lord. The Christian faith, the Christian experience is a walk with the Lord, is it not? It's moving, constantly moving in a direction that God has for you. And here we see the first thing out of the two things that we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks. Run, Christian, one. The first one, I have a race I must run. I have a race I must run. Again, we see it in the end of verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All believers have a race to run. You, this morning, have a race to run. You see, all of our races may look different, but we each have one. We each have something in our life that is perpetually moving us forward towards God. So what does your race look like? Now, if you remember what we talked about last week is talking about the trials and the experiences of those who believed, as the writer of Hebrews basically just kind of put a bunch of stories together. You know, does your race look like this? It is filled with fiery trials that are defeating you. Is that what your race looks like? That there's everywhere, everything you put your hand to, it feels like it falls apart. Every time you try, something just it doesn't work right for you. And it's like, God, I don't understand it. I'm reading your word. I'm praying. I'm staying in fellowship. I don't understand why these things happen. So if it's a fiery trial, maybe that's your race. Maybe that's the course that God has for you. Or are you surrounded by hungry lions like Daniel, ready to devour you? Is that what it feels like to you? Everybody's getting on you. Everybody's picking on you. A couple other things. Does it seem like you have had years of suffering and pain? It just seems like as I look back on my life, it's constantly hurt. I've talked with these Christians and it's saying, man, year after year, it just seems like difficulty after difficulty, pain after pain. Or maybe you've been blessed with a loving family. Maybe. Maybe that's your, you just, God has blessed you with just peace right now. You're in that season in your life where everything is going good. Your relationship with your spouse is great. The relationship with your kids, the conversations you're having with your children are just thriving. I mean, it's just amazing. Or perhaps you're a business person and your business is thriving, although all your competition around you is struggling. You ever have that? I mean, maybe you are a business person, and it's like, I don't understand it. Everybody else is having a hard time. We're in economic trials right now. We're in economic downfall, but I know some Christian business people whose businesses are busier than they were before. Why is that? Why is that? Because that's their race, my friends. Now, if you know anything, and I started running a couple of years ago, as crazy as I was, but if you know anything about marathon runs or marathon races, listen, some of these guys who are out there in the front, the ones who win the races, you know, the ones who cross the finish line in 2 hours, is that what it is, 2.5 hours, whatever? I mean, to them, 26.2 miles is like a stroll in the park. And they just run it with ease. But then there's those who come around 5 hours, 6 hours, trying to just get across the finish line, right? I mean, same course, right? 26.2 miles, same thing. But for some, it comes easy. For others, it's a struggle. What is that? What is that? See, it's interesting that on the same path, the same course, these two different types of runners that I just explained had an absolute different race, didn't they? It's the same course. Maybe they had the same turns at all the same intersections, but they crossed the finish line at different times and in different ways. And I think sometimes in our Christian walk, it's the same thing, my friends, that sometimes it's easy. Sometimes things just fall into place and you're feeling blessing after blessing after blessing and things are made and provided for. Your bills are all paid. Everything's going well. Your workplace is good. You're getting along with all your coworkers. But then other times it's like, what is going on? The bottom has fallen out. Things are tough. Things are difficult. My friends, we all have a race to run. The problem is, I think we look around, I want to run your race. I want to do what you're doing. It looks so much easier running your race. But I bet if I was running your race, I'd find it just as hard for you as you do. See, the thing is, we all have one. But the good news is that you're not alone in this. I don't know if you caught it. I just caught it this morning as I was going over this scripture again. Look at how many times in verse 1 it says we or us. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I love what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. Listen, guys, we're not out there by ourselves. Though sometimes when you're running a marathon and there's nobody around, you know, it's like, we are the body of Christ. We're in this together. We're all running our races and we're here to help each other. We're here to help each other. It was many years ago, and I forget a lot of the details. I don't know if I heard it or I experienced it. That's how scary it is when you lose your memory. But I remember a story of, you ever hear of Special Olympics? Right? I've heard a story about a Special Olympics. There was a run. I don't know if it was a 100-yard dash or whatever it was. They all took off together at the gun. Okay? All, they're running and walking and wandering. You know, they don't go really along the path. But they're all going in the same direction. And just about 3/4 into the run, one of the runners falls down and trips and ends up on the ground. All the other runners stop. Turn around, go back to get this one who has fallen, pick them up, and they all run together across the finish line. Only in the Special Olympics are you going to see something like that. Not in the Olympics, you're not going to see like that. Why is that? Because every single runner is focused on running their race. They don't care about other people. But I believe in the Christian run, in the Christian race, we're in this together, guys. Yes, we should be running our race. We should be striving for the goal. We should want to get across the finish line and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. But along the way, along the path, we got to start looking around going, who can I help get up? Who can I pick up? Who's been seated? And I thought about this too when it comes to runs. There are those who are running, and then there's fans that are watching in there. Who are we? Are we watching someone else run? Are we in the stands eating our popcorn, go, run, you know, pizza and whatever? Or are we out there on the track with them? Are we running our race as Christians as well? Guys, we're in this together. And the good news is, the first thing it says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's the witnesses? Chapter 11 were the witnesses. Those of the Old Testament that have lived their lives of faith towards God. They're the ones that we look at. These are not witnesses that are sitting in the stands of heaven looking down watching your life. They're not watching it. They're not witnessing it. Their lives were a witness to us, proclaiming the goodness of God. If you're here this morning and you've ever thought about giving up, if you ever thought about it's not worth it, if you ever thought, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I'm just ready to throw in the towel, don't. Get around somebody who's on fire with God. Get around somebody who has walked where you're walking and hear their experience with God, because they will be a witness to you to continue, to keep on moving. These witnesses live the life of faith, have given us the example of enduring through hardship. That's the beauty of the Old Testament. Reading the stories of David and Daniel and Jeremiah and all these men and women in the book of the Bible, and to say they did it, they finished, they completed it. Now there's people in the New Testament that Paul writes about that abandoned the faith. And when I read that, it's an encouragement to me to say, I can't give up. I can't give up. Guys, we don't want to give up. We got to run our race. So you have to know in your heart, leaving today, if nothing else, that there's a race for you to run. There's a race you must run, Christian. God's wanting to know, are you going to get out of the starting gate? Are you going to get around that first turn, that first corner? Are you going to come around? There's going to be difficulties there. You might trip, but God's going to be with you. This is the course that we have. But The problem is, many of us are trying to do it with too much extra baggage. We're trying to run our race. You never see a marathon runner with a backpack, right? You never see a marathon runner bringing a suitcase with them. Look what it says. A couple things that we need to do. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know what's the reason it's hard to run sometimes? You know why it's hard to walk the walk of faith? It's because we're trying to bring on too much baggage. There's too many things that are weighing us down that are keeping us back. And notice it doesn't say lay aside some of the weight. It says lay aside every weight. Everything that ensnares you. Everything that is slowing you down. Not just some. I like the way it says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 in the NIV version, and it'll be overhead here as well. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, here it is, let us throw off everything that hinders. I like the way that says that. Throw off the weight. Throw off everything that hinders. Now, we don't have to sit down and be in counseling for us to discover the things that hinder. You know what it is. You know those things that are holding you back. You know those things that are distracting you, that are moving you away from that walk of faith with God that you know to be true. And the sad part is, I see Christians who are walking faithfully, who were loving God, were in fellowship, were sharing scriptures. They were just walking the walk. They were strong. And now I see drifting. I see them drifting off a little bit, coming off course. Why? There's things out there in the world they want to experience. There's things out there in the world that they want to be a part of. That's the weight that's distracting them. And now they're wondering, why don't I hear from God anymore? Why is it I don't have peace in my heart anymore? Why can't I just, I don't understand this thing of faith. You know why? Because there's too much baggage on your back. There's too much stuff you're carrying. And I know this younger generation, there's a lot of temptations out there. There's a lot of things that you haven't experienced that you want to experience. And if you're going to experience them, I pray for you that you experience them quickly. For those of us that are a lot older, have experienced them, and we realize there's no good in those things. There's no good in those things. And I'm just afraid for Christians these days who are compromising. They're out there behind closed doors doing things they ought not be doing. Now, we're mature. We're mature enough. We know that there's some freedoms and some liberties that God gives to us, but don't abuse those things. You know what they are. And basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, throw off whatever it is that's slowing you down. Be mature. Be real. Look at what are those things that are slowing you down. Throw off whatever holds you back from your full potential. You ever thought about that? Are you just content with where you're at, or do you want to be in the place of your fullest potential? Well, if in order to be in your fullest potential, you're going to have to let go of a few things. Throw off whatever is hindering your progress with God. Well, I've got a lot of responsibilities. I got a lot of things that I have to do in a day. I don't have time for God. Listen, there's always time for God. It's amazing how many things we can fit into our schedules except God. Instead of putting aside a few things, setting aside those things, and putting God in that place. Now, also say, you know, here's a beautiful illustration that I found. A baseball player, when he's going up, before he goes up to bat, he takes a couple bats, or he takes a bat with a heavy weight on it, and he swings it, right? You ever seen that? You've seen this, right? You've watched baseball enough to say. Now, does he go up to the plate with that heavy weight on the bat? No. What is he doing? He's preparing himself to be able to take that weight off and then swing the bat a lot easier. And that's the same thing the writer is saying. Let aside those things that are weighing you down. Set them off so that you'll be able to thrive. You'll be able to be more, you'll be able to progress better. So there's some things that are holding you back. Not that they're bad things. Now, listen, I can tell you there's a lot of good, well-intended Christians that are doing way too many God things that they've put upon themselves. Those things need to be set aside and do what God wants you to do. Now, if you're doing what God tells you to do, he's going to equip you to do it. Okay? He's going to equip you to do it if he's called you to it, my friends. But lay aside a few things. Lay aside a few things. It says weights will be put upon you by God to strengthen you, but then those things need to come off so that you can run with endurance. And then this is probably where we'll close before we take of communion. But I think of the Apostle Paul. Again, a mighty man of God, right? We'd all agree Paul's life was used mightily for God once he got on track. But Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, wasn't he? Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, and we can talk all service about what that was, but there was something that was hindering Paul. But in God's eyes, it was a positive, right? It was something there that was to humble him. And so if we say goodbye to Hebrews chapter 12, because we won't have time to come back, but go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll pick up in verse 7. This is the story of Paul recounting his thorn. And I want you to see something. Second Corinthians 12 and 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. There's a lot right there. By the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Okay, this was given to Paul. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, and this is important, I pleaded or prayed with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So he's a praying man, asking God to remove it. We all can identify with that. And he, being God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Hello? In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, there was a thorn that was given to me in my flesh. Given to me. Guys, do you realize that sometimes things are given to you that are going to hurt, but they need to remain there? Oh, man, we don't want to hear that. But what does this thorn in his flesh do? This thorn in his flesh that was given to him, a messenger of Satan. Oh, boy. God says, okay, Satan, mess with Paul. What was this? It was whatever needed to happen in Paul's life to keep him humble. Do you realize that? Sometimes things have to happen in our lives, guys, to keep us humble. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Sometimes when our heads get so big, God says, I need to stick a pin in your head to let the air out. Something's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens in your life is God trying to humble you. Because I think there's plenty of people who say, I'm humble. Stop. Stop, Lord. But I am saying that there are going to be those times that God's going to get your attention by making some things happen. By allowing these things to happen. Now listen to me. God will use any and all means. Listen, God will use any and all means to keep your head on straight. Amen? He will, whatever it is, to keep. Listen, God knows where he wants you to be, right? We'll all agree with that. And God knows the best way to get you there. And if it's by putting something into your life to slow you down, he'll do that. Something to keep your heart humble, something to keep you from having a wrong perspective. God will allow that to happen in your life. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Just this morning, oh boy, I'm going to get a lot of emails on this one. Just this morning, when I woke up, the first thing I thought about, and I'm going to be honest and transparent here, Justin Bieber. Who said why? That's exactly what I said. I go, God, why did I wake up with Justin Bieber on my mind? Why? I said the same thing. Why? You know what the answer was? Birthday. Maybe it is his birthday. I don't know. You know his birthday, and you're giving me a hard time. God told me I want you to pray for him. Something must be going on. Now, I can easily just roll over and forget, or I can say, God, I'm going to pray. And I did. I said, God, I pray that the truth that is in that man's heart would be restored, that his life would continue to be a blessing to people, that he would glorify. I mean, I just started praying. I don't even know Justin Bieber. I don't even know how to pray for Justin Bieber, but I prayed for him. Now, this is the thing, my friends. We need to be sensitive to these things, what happened in our lives, when we look at it and go, why is that happening? Why did I get a flat tire? Why is every red light I'm hitting on my way to work? What is it that's happening in your life that is slowing you down for you to take a minute and go, is there a reason for this? Is God allowing this for a reason to keep me humble, to keep me praying? See, because we're coming back to the fact that we have a race to run. We have a race that we must run. The question is, are we hitting our stride? Are we on our pace? Are we moving in the direction that God wants us to do? Or are we struggling? Are we fighting against it? Do we feel like there's a backpack on our back as we're trying to run? We're feeling slowed down. Why? We need to train. We need to be equipped. One time in Florida, and I would only ride bikes along miles in Florida because it's flat. You guys are crazy riding bikes here in all the hills. And I used to ride for many distances, and I'd join this one particular, I think it was the Cancer Society or something, and it was like a 50 or 75 mile bike ride. And I had been riding my bike, and I'd done a few of them in the past, and I did fairly well, so I was like, I'm going to do this one. I didn't practice at all. I didn't train at all for this thing. I just didn't have enough time for some reason. I got on that bike, and I was like, I'm just going to go slow. I'll get across whenever I get across, right? We take off, the horn slit, I take off, and I find myself in the lead pack. I'm like, I'm just going. I was like, wow, I'm keeping up with these guys. I must be in better shape than I thought. First mistake. About 2 miles in, the guy in the front goes, looks at his buddy, goes, okay, ready? I'm like, I'm in the back one. For what? We're doing good here. Let's stick right here. He said, yep, let's do it. I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, they were out of my sight. And I was just sitting there like, whoa. And then it got really hard for me. So hard that literally somebody that was out just on a bike ride passed me. I'm telling you a true story. This girl driver, are you in a race? I'm supposed to be. All to say, we have to train to run our race. And guys, your race is your race, but the good news, it's all of us in this together. Let's be watchful for each other. Let's help each other, but let's run that race. And we'll get into it next week, with endurance, that we don't give up, properly trained, and keep our focus and realize that God is going to put things into our lives to keep us on that path and upon that race. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the book of Hebrews and what a blessing it has been. And we pray, God, that as we continue to study these first two verses, God, I pray that we would just have that heart to stay on course. For many of us in this room, perhaps, we've kind of got sidetracked. We've kind of pulled off to the shoulder and we're slowing down. Circumstances in life, discouragements that have come up, setbacks, whether financially or emotionally or relationally, are setting in. But God, I pray that as we continue to study this, that we would find your Spirit empowering us and energizing us to get back on track with you, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, Lord, we're no longer in chapter 11, the hall of faith, but Lord, for sure, we're still talking about being faithful to you. And so I pray as we spend this time in communion, Lord, that we've considered the place that we're at, each and every one of us, that we've looked into our hearts and perhaps discovered that there's more that I need to be doing. There's more training that I need to participate in so that I will be well equipped and well prepared for the race before me. Because the Christian faith is not one that we just stick on cruise control and just let it go. No, we must work hard at it. And so as we partake of communion this morning, I pray, God, that we would lift up those prayers, asking for forgiveness, but at the same time asking you, God, to fill us and empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be those Christians that will endure to the end, because we know We don't enter a race not to cross the finish line. No, we enter a race to get across the finish line. And we pray that as our finish line gets closer, that you will be well pleased with the way we've run. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.